here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. Yes, it's time for Meet Me at the Diner. I tell you what, the political arena is heating up. That's right. Gosh, we got just a little over 30 days till Election Day. And, of course, tomorrow night's the big debate on TV for our presidential candidates. But on the local level, we are right here at WCRS doing our part to make sure that everybody who tunes in can be educated and make a good decision when you go into that voting booth. And today our very special guest is Jennings Maccabee. He is running for our state Senate District 10. How you doing today, Jennings?
I'm doing great on a beautiful day.
It is it turned out to be a beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
So you, of course, made it through the whole issues that we've had through the primary and getting everybody. You, of course, were registered in McCormick.
That's correct.
You were outside all of that. So how has the campaign been going so far?
Well, I think it's been going well. I've spent an awful lot of time on the road, meeting groups, talking with groups, and doing some one-on-one, you know, knocking on doors even. So it's been great. Met a lot of good people, got a lot of good ideas from folks about, you know, where we need to go, what we need to do, and that's always a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, of course, you were in the House for what, over 20 years?
23 years.
23 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out, and now you want to get back in. Can you tell us why you want to get back in?
Well, you know, when you do something for more than half your life, you have a love for it. You have to have a love for it.
And are you only 40-some?
No, that was back when. You know, I've been out for 12 years,
okay.
So I looked at the numbers on it, and I see a tremendous need in Columbia. There are a lot of things that are going on in Columbia that I have some, you know, concerns about. I have concerns that jobs are not being brought into this area. And as many people know, I brought over 3,000 jobs into the Greenwood-McCormick area when I was in the House. And I just think we could do more to make this area, you know, more presentable to industries outside of South Carolina and maybe even in South Carolina to bring some jobs in here. And, of course, we also have to have an educated workforce, you know, technical education, vocational education, those kinds of things, in order to meet that demand and make industries see that we have a quality workforce here. And, of course, when you have those two factors, you get economic development. And when that comes, that increases the tax base, and you've got the potential there to reduce taxes on everybody else when that happens.
Well, you know, we keep hearing, Jennings, that after the first of the year, unless some things are done, all of our taxes are going to be going way up.
Oh, it's frightening. I saw the numbers on that just recently. And, you know, all of those things that Washington put in with a timetable for it to phase out or coming home to roost January the 1st, and it's going to be incredibly hard on not only the very wealthy people, but, you know, the average Joe out here on the street. His taxes are probably going up $300 to $350.
And that was low income.
Right. Well, I call that the average Joe, and
yeah,
that's the folks I like to represent because, you know, I've always looked out for the little people. And it bothers me tremendously that the little people are going to get caught in this squeeze, as are middle-income people. And it's unfair. They should have made it permanent to start with, but they didn't, and we'll have to deal with whatever happens. But I'm hoping we'll get some good people in Washington that will look at that matter carefully and do the right thing.
Well, here's what I think is interesting, Jennings, just since we're off on the national end, we're not on the local end right at this moment, but on the national end, I heard former President Clinton saying that the reason nothing has happened in a whole year is because there was this big election coming up in November. So after the election, this is what former President Clinton said, they will sit down and get serious about this. I find that appalling, that we have spent a whole year wrangling about sequestration and all these budget issues, and this is what the man said. And gosh darn it, if it's true, then I'm going to be really upset that we've wasted a whole year of our lives.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you have to consider the source. President Clinton has a little difficult time dealing with the truth, as we've seen in his escapades in years gone by. But, you know, I don't believe it can be done in 3 months, and that's the concern that I have.
Well, isn't it scary that a lame duck would be doing this?
Oh, sure. No question about it. They don't have anything to lose. And, you know, that's another frightening thing about it. When you put that with the gridlock that's been going on in Washington, you know, the Republicans go in one room, the Democrats go in another room, they both come back out and both vote against each other. Nothing ever gets done. And that's a real problem.
Absolutely. Now, in South Carolina, in the Senate and in the House, how do you feel they have worked and played together?
Well, it's been kind of the same, really. And back when I was in the House, you know, we reached across the aisle and worked together. I remember one bill in particular where DSS was running a $15 million deficit. And I got 103 co-sponsors on a bill to reorganize the whole department, do away with some of the boards that they had, and resolve that $15 million deficit. Now, that's 102, 103 members out of 124. I don't know if that's possible today. What you have to do today is deal with a majority. And we pretty much have a majority Republican in the House and a majority Republican in the Senate. So if you're really going to get anything done, you almost have to be a Republican in order to do it.
And we have a Republican governor.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Now, I did, at the Democratic convention, had a conversation with Senator Vincent Shaheen. And he told me he likes to have, when he sponsors a bill, he likes to have a Republican and a Democratic. He feels that the more possibilities of getting things done, working together on that.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, it's the majority rules. And when you have the factions and the partisanship that's grown so much over the last 10 years, it makes it very difficult to get that kind of working together.
You know, one of the things that I like to think about is that people that are elected to political office are supposed to do what's best for what their constituents want. And we seem to have, in some aspects, gotten a little away from that. It seems to be more what the party wants rather than the constituents' needs or desires are met.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, when I first went to Columbia, the people came first. The party, you know, the people back at home was second, and the party was third. Now the reverse of that has happened. The party seems to come first. The people back at home or the state, you know, is second. And the people back at home get left out. And that's another reason that I'm running for office. The people are first. And we need to keep that in mind and work toward that end of doing the people's business and not what's right for the party or what's right for the government.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Jennings Maccabee. He is running for the State Senate District 10. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll be talking some more with him. He'll be here the whole hour. If you have a question or a comment, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Don't you go away.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Right, we're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm talking to Jennings Maccabee, talking about a lot of different issues. He is running for State Senate District Number 10. Now, Jennings, what exact area does that cover? Because I know we've had redistricting, so some people that were in District 10, what does it fall now?
Well, basically, it's a small portion of McCormick County. most of Abbeville County except for the Hodges, Donalds, Chinkapin, Lodge Ground area. The rest of Greenwood County is in it. Two-thirds of Saluda County is in it. It's all the way from Lake Murray to Lake Russell as far as the width, and it goes really from Highway 370. Well, Persimmon Hill Golf Course in Saluda is in it, and so is the town of Wesha. That'll give you an idea of the width and breadth. Basically,
it's a pretty diverse group, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. But, you know, this area is really rural. You think that we've got a metropolis here in Greenwood, but we really don't. And when you look at, you know, Charleston and Richland and Greenville counties, they are the areas that are going to control the legislature because the one-man, one-vote principle has given them extra seats in both the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. But it's a group that really works together well because a lot of people from Saluda work in Greenwood, a lot of people from McCormick work in Greenwood, and a lot of people from Abbeville work in Greenwood, and people in Greenwood work in Abbeville. So it's pretty much the same. You know, we just need to bring more industry in, and I think I have the background and the proven success to do that.
Well, you know, I know one of your issues is education. But, you know, we just saw the SAT scores were down some, and certain areas have bucked the standard for the state. But we're still, education-wise, we are still lagging behind. And, you know, isn't it true if we don't get our kids at an early age and get them reading and getting up to par, it doesn't matter how good the education is at the higher level if they haven't accomplished the basics at the lower level?
You're exactly right on that. And I think the answer in those lower levels is possibly smaller class sizes. But last year, the General Assembly didn't fund education. As a matter of fact, the funding for education is back at the 95, 96 levels for the Equal Finance Act, which I sponsored and got passed to take care of all 92 school districts. But if we don't get the adequate tools in those first grades, you lose that child by the time he gets to middle school, and then he's trying to catch up, or either he gets frustrated and drops out of school. We got to do a better job with that. And I think if the teachers were given the right tools, rather than having to fill out paperwork and teach the tests, rather than how to memorize, you know, the textbooks,
mm-hmm.
Or be able to get the child focused on learning instead of memorizing, we'd be a lot better off.
Well, you see programs all around that are happening all around the country. How about right here in South Carolina?
Well, I think we could look at other areas and maybe pick up some good tools there.
But are we?
We have not done that in the past, and I think that may be the answer. It deserves some study because it frustrated me to see those SAT scores going down that you mentioned a little while ago. We've got to do a better job, and I think if the teachers were given the tools and they didn't have all this paperwork and they were adequately paid for the job that they do, that things would improve.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, except I was thinking as a small business person and all the paperwork I have to fill out just to exist as a small business person. I see some similarities there.
I have been there. I've run two or three small businesses, and I spent more time signing the front of checks than I did the backs of checks. And believe you me, I know about the regulations. I've been in communications, as you are here, and it's unbelievable the amount of paperwork that you have to do and the tests that you have to run to make sure you don't have any signal leakage and all of those types of things. And it's not just in the businesses that we've been in. It's been in all small businesses. And
there seem to be more coming down the pike all the time. This is the other issue to it. It doesn't seem to stop.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, the small business, he doesn't have the ability to skirt the issues like a lot of these large corporations does. He's there every day. They've got their fingers of a handle on him. Government does, and we've simply got to get government out of small businesses and increase the opportunity. That's where most of the jobs in this country are, in small businesses. And if we run them all out of business and we don't have anything left but Walmart and Kmart, then we're going to be in trouble.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, as far as your opponent in this, how do you feel he has done in bringing things to the fore here for Greenwood and McCormick and this area here?
Well, I hadn't seen much happen in the last 4 years. And, you know, I've known the guy that is a director for the Department of Commerce, which all of the, you know, contacts come through that department. I've known him for 30 years, and I haven't seen any results for anybody going down there. We have an economic development team here in Greenwood, and most counties, you know, do have that. But I think you've got to have some political leadership to open those doors. And, you know, I just hadn't seen any results. Sure, we've had some retail expansion and all of that, but most of the time the retail jobs are lower paying, and they don't really help a person support their family.
Well, you know, and so many of the retailers that are coming here into this area, they do not even give out full-time jobs. Most of them are part-time, so they don't even end up with any benefits out of it. So is it good to have this variety so we can spend our dollars right here in Greenwood so the tax dollars stay here? Yes.
Sure.
But very few full-time employees in most of these organizations.
Well, the reason, in my opinion, that they don't have full-time employees is they don't have to pay the benefits for them. They don't have to do the insurance. And that's another government mandate coming down the pike from Washington, D.C., and it's going to hurt the average guy out here working because he'll only be able to work 20 hours a week instead of 40 and be a full-time employee. And the more regulations they put on small business, the harder it is for any business to keep and add employees.
Sure, and that's of course what we're looking at a lot on the national election with our presidential possibility here. Is it going to be Governor Romney? Is it going to be President Obama? This is the decision that you out there are going to have to make and look at all the issues. You're also looking at your state issues. Now, Governor Haley has certainly every week we hear where another new industry is either coming in or expanding. How do you feel Governor Haley has done?
Well, I feel like she's done fairly well in most of the, you know, recruitment she's done. Boeing, of course, in Charleston. I was in the legislature. Governor Haley wasn't there at the time when BMW came to South Carolina. As a matter of fact, I did the package, the incentive package, to bring them into South Carolina. The problem,
well, thank God that came here.
Yeah. Well, the problem as I see it is we're not getting the attention in the Greenwood, Abbeville, Saluda, and McCormick area that some of the other areas in the state have gotten. I mean,
well, why is that? Why is that? Do we have some deficiency that makes us undesirable?
Well, I don't think we have deficiencies. I just think our story is not being told, and I don't think our leadership in Columbia has brought that to the attention of the Department of Commerce, and that's one of the things. I'm going to sit on that guy's desk and say, hey, look, I'm not leaving until we get some action here, and that's basically what we need. We can't simply go down there and sit and draw a salary. That's part of the legislative process, in my opinion, is doing things that make this area a wonderful place for jobs, economic development, and opportunity. And, you know, it's more to it than just drawing a salary and sitting there and voting on issues.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I thought was amazing in the spring, they had the rural development group come here, and it was at John Holloway's, and they went up and down the streets of Greenwood and everything. Every person that I talked to who was out of Columbia, the biggest thing they said, I had no idea that Greenwood in this area had this much to offer.
Of course, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Our story is the best-kept secret, and we don't need to keep it a secret. We need to tell that story and be aggressive about it. I mean, we've got all the great assets that we have, our lakes, our natural resources, and all of those, and we need to protect those. But we've got everything that we could offer any industry that wanted to come into this area, but we've got to open that door and make that effort, and that's simply not happening.
All right. Well, we are here with Jennings Maccabee. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. We're going to join South Carolina News in Progress. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
We're right here at Sharp Passes Gallery, and we have questions coming in this afternoon. Do you have a question for Jennings Maccabee? He's running for State Senate District Number 10, which is a big part of Greenwood right here. And Jennings, let's see. One of the questions that came in, if elected, how will you address the current power base in order to get your ideas across?
Well, I think that'll be relatively simple to do, mainly because I'll be in the majority in the House or in the Senate. But I still know a number of those individuals in the House, the older guys, and more than half of the Senate are friends of mine, personal friends of mine. I talk to them on the phone all the time, and I'm looking forward to establishing the relationships with the new members. I never had any problem when I was in the House, whether I was a Democrat or independent or a Republican.
Yeah, you did kind of change there, didn't you?
I'm the only legislator ever elected on all three ways in South Carolina.
But that's a distinction.
That's what I said. I don't favor the party as much as I do the person, and that's the reason people elected me all three ways, because they knew that about me. And I'm going to continue that. And I won't have a problem working across the aisle and working with other people and working within the Republican Party in Columbia.
Absolutely. And then we had another question come in, Jennings. Let's see. Have you considered more technology instead of manufacturing as far as jobs?
Absolutely. I think we've got to go that route because, as all of us know, with the textile opportunities closing here and there, we've got to move toward technology and high-tech jobs.
A lot of the manufacturing jobs are high-tech jobs, though, anymore,
well,
too.
Sure,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, the low-tech jobs are just almost a thing of the past.
But what do we do with that person that's 55 or 50 that's out of a job and needs a job and can't find a job and even with going back to school has a problem finding a job?
Oh, that's awfully difficult because many of them are, their feelings are hurt, first of all, because they've lost a job that they've worked in for 30 years. And it bothers my heart to see the struggles that a lot of these people go through. But we simply got to bring in jobs that these people can fill. I'd much rather have 10 smaller industries come in that we can put these people in, because if one of them closes, it doesn't have the impact. To give you an idea of what we're talking about, Kellen Falls had 3 textile plants, 1 Mohawk Carpet. The 2 textile plants have already closed, and Mohawk Carpet just announced that they're closing. It's 180 jobs. There are absolutely no jobs available in Kellen Falls. And the town is just struggling to stay alive. But, we've got to do something about these pockets of unemployment in the whole district. Saluda is a small county. It's struggling as well. And of course, as most of us know here in Greenwood, we've got pockets of unemployment in certain areas of Greenwood that we need to address. And we're going to have to do that by doing some aggressive promotion to make the jobs that we bring in fit the clientele.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the clientele, you know, I know Piedmont Tech is out there doing a lot of training and manufacturing, and what is it up in Simpsonville, ZF, they're doing a big training program out there. And, of course, that is technology manufacturing.
Sure.
What can we do? Do you really think, though, that Greenwood is ready? I know in talking to Mark Warner that one of our problems is we're running out of facility space to put a manufacturing / technology business.
Sure. Well, we need to look at building some speculative housing for industries that we can show them. But I think, you know, if we really make an effort to bring in opportunities that fit the clientele and at the same time increase our technology training at Tech so we can attract some of those high-tech jobs, then we can be all right.
So you feel the jobs are out there, and you feel, I guess what I'm hearing, is that we're not getting our fair share because we're not getting our voices out there loud enough for people to come take a look at Greenwood.
That's the feeling that I get. And in talking with people, other people are saying that. They're telling me, hey, why not? You know, we're getting jobs in Iva and Star and all those places. Michelin just announced a big thing over there. There's no reason that Greenwood and the areas surrounding Greenwood can't have those same opportunities. I mean, I've been there. I know what makes everything work. I know what makes state government work. I have the experience, leadership to make things happen, and I plan to use that.
Absolutely. Now, one of the big issues that keeps being put on the table down there and then taken off the table is the tax code. I mean, we have tax issues here. One person I sat down with and talked to one day said you can only repair a garden hose so many times. What do you have to say about the tax issue, and why hasn't it been addressed? It was supposed to be addressed this last year in the legislature.
I understand. Unfortunately, back in 1975, all of those ratios were put in the state constitution. So in order to make a change in the ratios or some of the other issues with the Title 10, I believe it is, you have to go back to the people after you pass a resolution to put it on the ballot the next year.
We had plenty of time to do that this year. Yeah. I mean, what happened?
Of course, but you didn't have anyone that wanted to step out there and take a chance politically on making some
group
or something.
What do you mean, take a chance politically?
Well, you know, most politicians, I don't think I'm one of those, but most politicians are not going to want to do anything that jeopardizes their incumbency. And when you change your tax codes, now businesses, most small businesses are on 10% or better ratio. But when you change that, you shift that burden to all of the other ratios. But it's something that needs to be addressed because it's tremendous burden on small business to be at that ratio, because as the economy goes up and as government grows, and we've got to do something about government growth too, then it increases that burden on small business. I've been there. I know it was a struggle for me every single year to pay those taxes at the end of the year, and I'm talking about property taxes. You know, and people with homes, we were able to give some relief back when I was there of giving $100,000 off of the market value on homes. But that's gradually been eaten up through the years, and that probably needs to be looked at again to increase that homestead exemption, you know, on the owner-occupied homes, because some of these people on fixed incomes are having a hard time, you know, making ends meet, buying medicine and food and all of those things. So those issues need to be looked at, and I plan on doing some research on that when I get there, and maybe we can make some changes that makes the burden easier on people. Property tax is probably the worst form of taxation that we have because it penalizes the homeowners. It penalizes the small business. It penalizes big business because when they have to pay huge amounts of property tax, they can't hire new people. So we need to look at the whole realm of that and see if we can make adjustments to make it better for everyone involved.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Jennings Maccabee. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We come back, we'll be coming up on that last 15 minutes. So if you've got a question for him, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Give us a call right now. It's time for a word from our sponsors. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, we'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day.
All right, we're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. You know, it's October 2nd. You will be voting on November 6th. Do want to bring this point up. This Saturday is the very last day to register for the upcoming election. We did talk to Connie Moody this morning, and you know that she said the office would be open up till 12 o'clock on Saturday. She also told us that if you mail your forms, as long as they're postmarked the 6th, you will be able to vote. But we've got people that have moved and this type of thing, and if you haven't registered, Jennings, what do you have to say to people that haven't registered at this late date?
Well, you can't complain about who's elected. You know, that's for sure. You know, it's a duty, in my opinion, and always has been, to elect, to vote, and elect people to these offices because they represent the people. And if you don't vote, then, you know, and they don't suit you later on, you can't complain.
That's true.
So I've always voted, and I would urge everyone out there. It's so important, especially with the way things are right now, both nationally and at the local level, to participate in the process. You know, they don't use, like they used to, the voter polls to pick juries anymore. They use a combination of driver's licenses and voter polls and several other things to pick juries out. So that old excuse of, well, I don't want to serve on the jury, which is also a civic responsibility, you can't use that anymore. So I would urge everyone to go out and vote, and I don't think you'll be sorry.
Well, I think that, you know, the thing, we have talked to Chad Kinsella, who is over at Lander in Political Science. He said on Constitution Day they were running some get-out-to-vote and registering voters and everything. I was appalled to hear that we had some college students over there that said they weren't going to register to vote. They didn't want to vote. They didn't want to be part of it. And in this economy, to be able to say my vote counts, I mean, how many times, particularly on smaller elections, let's say school boards and city and county council, does a few votes make the difference in who gets elected?
Absolutely. And I can tell you from personal experience, every vote counts. I have won elections by one vote per precinct, and I have lost an election by one vote per precinct. So, ladies and gentlemen out there, let me tell you, one vote does make a difference.
Absolutely. So get out there, and if you're not registered, please register. If you've moved or changed where your residence since the last time you voted, make sure that you contact Connie Moody down there and either go by or you can call, or you can go on the website for Greenwood County SC. So that's one question. Another question that came in, will you be attending any public events where people can learn more about you? Well, gosh, I thought we had talked a lot about you here today, but I know there are other places too.
Yes, they are, and I plan to attend every event that I'm invited to. The Greenwood Chamber of Commerce is having one at the Little Theater, I believe that's on the 17th of this month at 6 o'clock. I understand the Citizens for Better Government is scheduling one. They hadn't locked in on a date as yet. I'll be at that one. The Palmetto Teachers Association is having a candidate forum in Abbeville that next week. The Saluda Lions Club is having a candidate forum at the American Legion Hut next week. So you can rest assured I'll be there. But if you really want to get some background on my candidacy and my past history and everything, you can check that out on the website. It's jmcabee, that's MCABEE.com. I've got a new website lined up, and I think you'll like it when you look at it.
Absolutely. Lots of information. He's been around for a good long time. That's right. And he comes from good bones, I guess we could say. You've your grandfather, what? Who all was in the legislature before you?
Well, it's an interesting history, really. My grandfather was Martin Gary Dorn. He was a lumber manufacturer down in McCormick, and he was in the state Senate. As a matter of fact, he served with his cousin, who was Brian Dorn, back in the early 40s. My granddaddy had his legs amputated, and he couldn't really get around that well, so he kind of dropped out. But actually, my grandfather's brother was also a state senator. His name was Joseph Jennings Dorn, and that's where my name came from, Jennings Gary Dorn. So,
how about that? I actually talked to somebody who I must have been Brian Dorn when he went into the Senate. I went on an honor flight, met a couple of the guys, one guy who had been serving at the same time as Brian was. Brian was just a little shy of being able to be sworn in. They made they passed it so he could be sworn in, even though he was 24, not quite 25, when he first went in. I thought that was an amazing story.
That's correct. Our state constitution requires that you have to be 25 years old to serve in the Senate, and Brian at that time was 24 and a half. And so the Senate judges its own members or their ability to serve, and they had a special vote and seated Brian, and he was seated right next to my grandfather, Martin Gary Dorn, in the back row of the Senate. Back in those days, when you first came in, you had to sit on the back row.
And you worked your way to the front?
You worked your way to the front.
That's pretty cool. Well, you know, we only have, we only have 5 minutes. What particular topic would you like to tackle here in the last 5 minutes?
Well, I think we've got to look at the budget for South Carolina. Of course, our Constitution requires that we have a balanced budget. And about 6 months ago, it came to my attention that the Health and Human Services area of our state budget was $250 million in the red. We simply can't continue that deficit financing, or we're going to have problems with Standard & Poor's and Moody's in New York. That's the rating companies for our bonds. We also had a $15 million shortfall in what they estimated the revenues were going to be. And we only funded a small percentage of the money that we borrowed from the federal government to pay our unemployment benefits to our citizens back when the economy was so bad. That, in effect, by not fully funding that unemployment compensation loan or funding so we could pay it back, could cause a tax increase on every small business in South Carolina, because they are required by law to go up on the taxes to pay for each business to pay that until that fund becomes solvent again. So I have some real concerns about those kinds of issues. Thank goodness we have a balanced budget, and we don't have a money machine like Washington does, and we can't get, hopefully, in a situation. But there are certain issues that deal with that. I mean, our teachers was funded, their salary increase was funded with non-reoccurring money. Well, that doesn't sound bad, but when when you spend non-reoccurring money on reoccurring items, that means next year we got to come up with twice as much, because we have to annualize that for the following year before we even consider before we even consider a salary increase for the next year. So those are just some of the issues that I have some real concerns about, and I think we need to address those in our state budget process.
Well, now, I understand there's a gold mine down there in McCormick. Isn't it called the Dorn Mine?
It is.
Is there any gold in that mine there?
Well, I think there is. Billy Dorn was a distant relative of mine, and it's an interesting story. He dealt with George's name now, but the newspaper folks out in Los Angeles. At any rate, he dealt with him and didn't own the land to purchase the land. He found the gold on it, and he went back to this guy, and he said, I guess you don't want to sell me the land. You've heard I've discovered gold on it. And he said, no, we shook hands on it, and we agreed on the price, and that's the price it will be. Now, would that happen today?
No.
In today's world?
Absolutely
but,
not.
They operated the mine there through the 1850s, and several other companies have come in, after that. You can actually pan for gold in some of the little creeks around the city of McCormick, and it's a lot of fun to do it, to find a
piece. Well, I just wondered if it would help the treasury down there if we could find some real gold down there in McCormick.
I don't know if we could find enough for the national treasury. the way that deficit
the way
is going
money.
Up and the way the Congress spends money, it's frightening, you know. In the time that one of the conventions went on, it went up by, what, $16 billion?
Trillion. It's up to $16 trillion now.
Up to $16 trillion, but just in those 3 days,
it
went up $16 billion. And that's, I've watched the clock roll over, and we've simply got to stop. We can't spend money we don't have.
That's right, the thing is, it's up there, but it rolls down here, doesn't it, for us to have to deal with it from the state all the way down to individuals.
Of course it does. I don't know how accurate these numbers are, but I heard the other day, for every man, woman, and child in the United States, the bill for us to repay that is $140,000. That's more than most houses cost.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Jennings Maccabee. He is running for state Senate District Number 10. If you'd like to give him a call, 378-6864. That's 378-6864. And I'm going to give him a minute here just to tell us why we ought to vote for Jennings Maccabee for State Senate District 10. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Jennings, why should people vote for you that are in your district?
Well, Ann, I think I've outlined most of the points of my platform, and I have the experience that I think would be beneficial to this area, and I have proven results in creating jobs and doing things that make the quality of life in this area much better than it is. I've always lived by the theory that you need to leave this place a little bit better than what you found it, but I want to assure everybody out there that I may go to Columbia, but I'll never forget the people who sent me there. And that happens so often, but it will not happen with me. Thanks.
That's right. That's Jennings Maccabee running for State Senate District 10. Just a little over 30 days, you'll have to be making up your mind. Again, he's got a new website. What's that website, Jennings?
It's jmaccabee.com.
Okay, jmaccabee.com. And, of course, his telephone number, 378-6864. And you better check him out at all the other different forums. And, Jennings, if you'll get that information back to us, we'll make sure that it gets out to all of our listeners so they'll be able to come see you and all the other candidates.
Be happy to do that.
Thank you very much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I am Ann Eller interviewing tomorrow is Wednesday, lunchtime tomorrow. I guess you're going to be over there at the new Republican
headquarters.
That's right. Now, where is the new headquarters?
New headquarters is right across the street, and I don't know if it's Montague, Calhoun, or whatever, but it's right across the street from Frank's Car Wash in that little row of buildings.
Oots and Tinney
chiropractor used to be.
That's right. So if you would like to, I think it's the office right next door. If you'd like to be there, that's at 12 o'clock, correct?
That's correct.
That's right. And then tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will have Congressman Jeff Duncan sitting in the hot seat. And then we'll have more guests all week long. And all the candidates will be right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Punsible.